Buzzcast coming to you all week from the CAA World Congress of Sports in Los Angeles. I'm Abe Madcore, joined by my colleague, Austin Karp. And this is your morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, April 16th. Austin, great to have you with me today.
Ready to get going.
All right. Well, we have a full day here at the CAA World Congress of Sports. First off, we have WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert coming from the draft on Monday night. A great visual. She should be feeling great about the future of the league and all the energy and all the interest around Caitlin Clark.
Abe, Kathy is going to be amped up coming off that amazing event in Brooklyn. It had all the hype of every major draft you can imagine. It looked and felt just like the NBA draft. Packed house. You had sponsor activation, all the players. It was just a very well put together event. It's going to be a record setting number on ESPN for that draft. I'm guessing it's going to maybe even double what the previous record was. So riding high, Kathy Engelbert.
And we were seeing it here at LA Live with people joining around the TV in the lobby bar to watch the draft and see Caitlin
Clark. When's the last time the WNBA draft was a must-see TV event? It was.
But it wasn't just Caitlin Clark. There's a number of other top picks in that draft order that really should be a boost for the league.
Yeah, Camilla Cardozo, she went number 3. Cameron Brink from Stanford, she went number 2. You have, obviously, Angel Reese. Everyone knows Angel Reese. There are a ton, more so than I can ever remember, marketable players coming into the league to join a number of faces that we already know about. The stars on the Liberty, the stars on the Aces. A lot of big name star power going on in the WNBA.
It still comes back, though, to Caitlin Clark, which is a talent coming into the WNBA unlike anyone the league has really ever seen. So how can Caitlin and others amplify the league? Ticket sales, ratings, interest, and like you said, Caitlin Clark is joining a WNBA that is on the rise. Mm-hmm. The question is, how can the league continue to build off star power from college campuses? Because sometimes it loses the connection between college stars. Sometimes they get lost in the WNBA. I don't think that's going to be the case with Caitlin Clark, but I think it's something Kathy Engelbert will talk about today. I'm looking forward to the discussion.
Yeah, first off, Caitlin does get the business side of this. You heard that after she would pick. She even talked about get your tickets now. She knows that this is a business, and you have seen it across the country, places like Las Vegas, moving that from a small arena to the Golden Knights, T-Mobile. And also, let's just talk about just beyond regular star power. Caitlin Clark was on Saturday Night Live already. That's normally for a Peyton Manning. That's normally for a Travis Kelce or a Patrick Mahomes. Very famous, established athletes. She has not played a professional game yet, appearing on Saturday Night Live. That's the sort of crossover mainstream appeal she's going to bring to the W.
Let's shift to the NBA, because they announced at the end of their season that really their goal of making the front half of the season interesting with the in-season tournament and the back half of the season with the play-in game has worked, because they touted record attendance, especially in November and March. But they set record attendance in average attendance, in overall sellouts, and they sold to 98% capacity across the league. The Thunder had the biggest year-over-year jump, Austin at 13%, followed by the T-Wolves at 9% and the Clippers at 8%. Those really don't surprise me, because those are teams who really had nice seasons.
Yeah, I think we knew the Thunder were a team on the rise, but if you would have told me that they were going to be the number one seed in the Western Conference with all of the star power, like, so kudos again to Sam Presti and the front office there. They have completely rebuilt that franchise, and it is as popular as ever, it is strong as ever on the court. But I think what you said, we talked a lot about early in the season about how the new in-season tournament created some buzz on TV. The numbers on ESPN and TNT were better than what those networks had earlier in the season, but now we're seeing it we saw it reflected in the attendance numbers. So I think that has to be considered a pretty big success for the league. And now we have real star power in this postseason play-in tournament. We've got the Lakers, we've got the Warriors, a lot of big names you're gonna see. I think it's gonna be a record for that, you know, miniseries as well.
And how can you not mention the Knicks? The Knicks are the
number two seed
in the East.
Stephen A's happy, I know
that.
I mean,
Adam Silver has been waiting years for the Knicks to really rise. This could be an unbelievable mix for the NBA. We'll have to see how it goes. Well, let's move on. Commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman, will be one of our early speakers today. And certainly, he'll talk playoffs, but he'll also have to talk about Arizona, the future of the Coyotes, and possibly that team relocating to Salt Lake City. We're also scheduled to have Ryan Smith on Wednesday, so there could be some very interesting news coming out of that. You know, our colleague Josh Barnett went to WrestleMania in Philadelphia last week, and it was a record-breaking 40th iteration of WrestleMania in Philadelphia, and the city has made it very clear they want to bring WrestleMania back to Philadelphia, and that is something that we can ask Nick Khan and Paul Levesque on Wednesday as they'll be speaking at the World Congress.
I mean, if there's anything WWE has shown the stick and ball counterparts, is how to put on a fantastic fan-focused event year after year. They sell out, and all of these places want to attract WrestleMania like it's the like the presidential convention or something like that.
It's a huge event. Yep. I mean, in Philadelphia, it was cold, but WrestleMania 40 broke records in event attendance, ticket sales, merchandise sales, and social media and television viewership. So the WWE has not made any decision on future sites of WrestleMania, but Philadelphia clearly in the mix for wanting to host it again. Austin, let's chat about a few other things in the news. Get ready to see a lot of Applebee's during this upcoming NFL season. The NFL signed Applebee's as its official grill and bar, Austin, which will make Applebee's its first casual dining chain to have sponsorship rights since IHOP in 2009. I like this deal because I think you're going to see a ton of media support behind this deal with Applebee's. They're going to activate around the draft, and I just think that this is a good fit for that NFL viewership audience.
You know, Abe, me being a TV numbers guy, it absolutely makes sense because now you have the addition of all these out-of-home measurements. That includes restaurants like an Applebee's, so maybe they can attract crowds to come and have lunch and drink at an Applebee's on a Sunday and maybe drive up some numbers.
And for Applebee's, they have not been a very high-profile sponsor in sports, so this is their biggest investment. It reminds me a lot of what Buffalo Wild Wings has done in recent years, and that's been a smart play. Shifting to soccer, one of the more interesting stories I've seen in the last few days was from The Athletic, where FIFA President Gianni Infantino spoke to MLS owners, Austin, and he urged them to be bold to grow the league to its full potential. So what does being bold means? It means spending more money. And so he's encouraging owners to spend more. But this will be a discussion at the World Congress as well, Austin, because we have Don Garber, we have Cindy Parlow Cohn. They will talk about the great interest and the great energy around soccer in America with the World Cup coming up. But on the MLS side, a lot of teams want to spend more. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams don't want to spend more. A lot of teams want to spend for their next Messi. There aren't that many Messis out there, but there are a few others who could move the needle. And so Don Garber is facing that, I would say, challenge from his ownership group. Some want to spend more, and some want to watch the economics settle before overextending on financials.
Well, Abe, we've just seen such an influx of billionaire owners into MLS over these last few years, and they have the pocketbook now to do it. It's not like, you know, years and years ago where you had one owner owning maybe three teams. So it's just a different landscape now. But I also think it should not be overlooked just the symbolism of having Gianni Infantino at that meeting. A head of FIFA has never attended that meeting. Yeah. So it just shows the status that MLS has on the global soccer landscape.
And he urged them that they could be the biggest and best soccer league in the world. And now he said you have to spend to hit that standard. I just find that to be an interesting dichotomy because, as you know, Austin, the economics around MLS aren't there fully to support heavy investment in player salaries and in new academies and in really in global talent coming to the U.S. So it's a little bit of a conundrum, but a story that we will certainly watch and talk about here at the CAA World Congress of Sports at LA Live. So, Austin, good stuff. We're ready for today.
Ready to roll.
And we'll bring you the Buzzcast all week from the CAA World Congress of Sports. For Austin Karp, I'm Abe Madcore. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. We'll speak to you tomorrow.